See you this morning, and we are very privileged today to have the Luces with us from Romania. I hope that you keep up with their Luce Connection letter and other correspondence that we have, and they are part of our regular prayer services on Wednesday night, and we're very grateful that they drove all the way across the Atlantic Ocean. We haven't figured that one out yet to get here and be with us this morning. So I'm going to, without me getting into any trouble this morning, which I usually do, I'll turn this over to Ken, but let me open us in prayer, please, and ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you that you're the sovereign King of glory. You're on your almighty throne this morning, and we are here to worship and adore you and whatever way we can. We thank you, Father, for the Luce family being with us, or at least part of them, this morning. And we pray that you would guide and direct everything that is said and done today to the honor and glory of your precious Son. Oh, Father, glorify your name. And we delight in thee and in thy truth and in thy people. And we praise thee for your kindness to us. Please bless Brother Luce as he speaks to us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother.
With all these technical advances, sometimes they seem to cause us some difficulties. My wife is in the back trying to come up with our slideshow for you. But while we're waiting for that to come up, if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd turn with me to Hebrews, the third chapter, I'm going to look at one verse. I've been doing a study with some of the men from the International Church, and we'll talk about that as we get rolling along here. And something jumped out at me as we were studying through this. So let me read just verse 1 for you. Therefore, holy brothers, companions in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. You know, the writer of Hebrews, it's a fascinating book if you haven't read it, because the writer of Hebrews starts in the very beginning and he's saying that Jesus is superior to prophets. He's superior to angels. He's superior to, and he begins to take the reader through all these categories where he's saying Jesus is superior to something. And we think to ourselves as we read this, we think, you know, why in the world does the writer need to say this? Because obviously this book is a unique book. There's no author that's identified, and the audience, we kind of have to figure out who the audience is. And the audience appears to be Jewish Christians who are suffering. And as we go through the text, we see holy brothers. Well, that could refer to just Jews, because Jews were the chosen people of God. But then companions in a heavenly calling. Well, Jews are called to a nation state, right? Genesis chapter 12. They are the blessing to the Jewish nation is a place. But then in the end it says, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Who has to make a confession? To the Jews? No, the Jews didn't have to make a confession. They were born into being Jews. They were descendants of Abraham, and so they were automatically recipients of the promises of God to the Jewish nation. But yet, when Jesus was talking to Peter, he said to Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God, our confession. And in Romans chapter 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Our confession. So truly, this is talking to Jewish Christians. Now, here's the point. Consider Jesus. That word consider means more than just one of many options. That word carries with it a sense of urgency. Later on, as we read down in chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice," in other words, not just consider Jesus as one of many options, but hear his voice. Respond now. Don't put it off. Well, he's talking to Christians. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the church needs to hear this message. Here in the United States and in Romania, today, we don't just choose Jesus once and say, okay, I have fire insurance. Today, each day, each decision, each motivation, consider Jesus. He's superior to everything. He's the reason that we're willing to give up our lives for the sake of the gospel. The church needs to hear it. But how we do that can come in a few different forms, as we're going to try and show you this morning. Show you what God's doing in Romania. We're kind of focused on our little corner of the world. And for some of you, you may not be very familiar with Romania. I don't know if you were here the first time that we came. So we'll include some background information for you. But we also have some audio. Hopefully all of this stuff is going to come together. Are you about ready? Okay. So what I do is I usually read from a script. It terrifies my wife when I ad-lib. So if you see her start to sweat, you'll realize I've gone off script. Okay. All right. So we're partners in this, okay? So if you heard us speak about our work in Eastern Europe, you may remember pictures of Monique and I and four children living and working together as a family. Well, not anymore. When we returned to Romania in 2015, Monique and I returned as empty nesters. It was strange at first, but by God's grace, we've learned to adapt, and we know that God is and will lead our children to trust Him without our being there with them. For those of you unfamiliar with the country of Romania, it's in Eastern Europe, surrounded by Hungary, Ukraine, the Republic of Moldova, Bulgaria, and Serbia. It has the same geographical area as the state of Oregon and is home to over 21 million people. They're an intelligent people who, in addition to their language, learn to speak two additional languages before finishing grade school. Romanians are also deeply religious. Eastern Orthodoxy is the official state-sponsored religion. They're taught from their youth that their religion is the only true religious expression in existence that can demonstrate an unbroken line passed down from Andrew, one of the original 12 apostles. When you've been raised to believe that your traditions are the only ones in existence with apostolic authority, it's hard to want to listen to somebody else. Besides, for many, the idea of being Romanian and Orthodox go hand in hand. To renounce the Orthodox faith would be like renouncing their family heritage. Since at least 2007, we have watched many new Orthodox churches and cathedrals being constructed. One might think attendance was booming, requiring that new churches be built to hold the masses. But that's not the case. These new churches seem to be the Orthodoxy's attempt at maintaining an appearance of health, in spite of tepid attendance and seeming increased interest in many cults that have invaded the culture. People ask, why is Orthodoxy a problem? Why is their teaching a problem? Our answer is twofold. First, the source of grace comes through the church itself, not God working through Jesus Christ. And secondly, sacred tradition carries more authority than Scripture. Believers are not encouraged to read and understand the Scriptures for themselves, but to let church leaders and sacred tradition determine its meaning. Consequently, it's just enough to be Orthodox. The church will get them to heaven. Romanian culture is diverse, influenced by other people groups that coexist within it. Pagan gypsy practices like this goat dance at Christmas time and Hungarian language and culture are just a few of the things accepted as part of the overall flavor of Romanian life. A simple road trip can be enough to illustrate just how different Romanian life can be, whether it's flocks of sheep or other animals blocking busy roads. to gypsy wagons laden down with scrap metal to be sold at recycling centers and baskets for sale at local markets. It's probably not often you see sites like this on the main roads here in the U.S., but in Romania it's commonplace. Even the road signs can provide a little entertainment. But each region of the country has its unique sights and sounds that illustrate the diversity within the culture itself. Just passing through a village can reveal the creativity of the people. Not getting our... Creativity in its architecture and access. Bridges are not well maintained for the most part. Feel safe on that. And how they provide for their families. They will try and make money any way they can. Romania is an old country, and its land is filled with historical buildings, like this one on the Black Sea, and its monuments. It is a hand. It's a land that needs to be experienced to be fully appreciated. You probably can't see the cross on the top of that granite mountain there. And one of the things we enjoy experiencing is Romanian food. Pickled vegetables are a Romanian favorite, and they can often be found for sale along at roadside stands. Romanians love their food, like deviled eggs turned into ducklings. They like to be creativity, A feast for the eyes and the stomach, and papanash. That's a dessert. You really have to try it to appreciate it. Safety standards in Romania are different as well. This is an emergency exit for a grocery store. Can you see what's blocking the door? According to the law, all buildings must be wheelchair accessible. How that's achieved is often interesting to see. Many places do not take the time or the money necessary to repair things as they degrade, which causes walking a bit of an adventure sometimes. We've moved from the city of Hunedoara, which was about 50,000 people, to the city of Iași, which is the second largest city in Romania with a population of over 400,000. Iași is a historic city that is the seat of Orthodoxy for all of Romania. Even though Iași is considered one of the richer cosmopolitan cities, they still have many poor and homeless that live there. In Iași, there are medical engineering universities that teach not only in Romanian, but in French and English as well. So since moving to Iași, we've been working with the church, reaching out to the international college students. We have about 60 people who attend church regularly. Out of these young people, there are about 20 different nationalities represented, which makes up for a lively church service. Because of this, we often sing in multiple languages. We not only have students from other countries, but we also have Romanians who come to join in our worship services. Before church, we offer a meal to help attract students. What attracts young people more than food? We have students that come so they can share a meal with us, and we sit around at tables and fellowship together and begin to build relationships with them. Many of these students, when they come for the first time, are unbelievers. After the worship service, we offer a Sunday school class, and we're currently teaching and studying apologetics together. With the need for lots of food to be made, Monica has found her cooking skills have been put to good use. Her desserts have become very popular. One young man commented that Monica's desserts are the standard by which he measures all others. Monica has also been asked by many young people to teach them how to cook, and when they get together, it's like a party with jokes, laughter, and laughter filling the air. one of my responsibilities and joys has been doing Bible studies with people from the local church. Here we've been working through the book of Hebrews. We meet in a local cafe on Friday mornings in order to study together. Throughout last summer, we challenged the young men also to take a portion of James and to preach a message to the church. I'm happy to say they all did very well. Monique is discipling a group of young women. There are 8 girls that come to our home every Friday afternoon. She's really enjoying that, but since most of her young ladies speak French as their native language, she's thinking that maybe she needs to learn French. Every year, our church holds an international food tasting festival as a way of meeting the students. We find young people who are willing to cook a dish that represents their country and then invite students to come and taste and vote for the ones they like best. This year, we had 30 people prepare dishes, and about 120 others showed up to do the tasting. It was a wonderful time and a great way to meet some of the young people that would not normally be willing to come to a church service. During spring break, the church puts on a camp for students and their friends. The focus of the camp is discipleship. All know that when they come, they'll be spending lots of time studying God's Word, and they are challenged to begin to memorize some of the scriptures being studied. What is camp, however, without some fun? And when in Europe, what do you play? Soccer. Football in Romanian. Of course, camp also helps build deeper relationships with our young people that are so often too busy studying for exams. The medical students come for 6 years of schooling, so we know we only have a short period of time to invest in their lives. This is something that helps motivate us to do all that we can to get them well-grounded in the scriptures before they leave us and head back home or onto other parts of the world. But as you can imagine, making friends and having to say goodbye to them year after year can be challenging. Part of being a family in Christ is that we get to walk with our students through tough times as well. We make friendships that are lasting friendships and are able to disciple these young people to serve Christ. It's a joy for us to see God bringing many of these young people to Himself. Their joy is often evident in how they worship the Lord, especially after church. Those are our Nigerians. They have a good time. The Lord is also allowed to continue. Uh-oh. Huh? Okay. This is Danny from Malaysia. What do you think life would have been like for you had there not been a Ecclesia International?
I think I would have just gone the wrong path. I don't think I would still be a medical student.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe drowning myself with alcohol and drugs would have been mm-hmm. my source of out of all my problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been it.
So you were talking about speaking to your family. How has that really impacted your family?
It helped my mom and dad, especially back home. We have churches and all, but no one has really influenced them a lot. And like, they go to church, they are Christians, but not as much we learn compared to what I've learned here. So all my life, I've gone to churches and stuff, but I learned a lot more while I'm here in this church. And so that was really good. And spending quiet time, back home there was no such thing as quiet time. So teaching them what I've learned, and that was encouraging them. And also they wanted to slowly take the Bible and read and to have quality time with Christ.
So your parents, their first visit to Iași, Romania was in what, June?
In June 2016.
Yeah.
For my graduation.
Yeah.
For them, having a church like Ecclesia International was something new to them. And they really love the church. Even though after going back home, they still tell me that they miss everyone. They miss the whole church, the fellowship that we have. the community that we have, the church, the love of Christ that is in the community, different cultures, different nations, all coming together. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, this built like a huge community. And people who comes to our church, most of them feel the love of Christ shared among them.
So, do you feel like that God has used Ecclesia International to prepare you for your next step in life?
Definitely. That's a huge yes. That's if not for the church, I wouldn't know how to read my Bible. That was first and foremost how to interpret, especially now knowing we have a lot of false teachers and people misusing the Word of God. And now I can identify, I can do my own work in reading and studying the Bible and knowing that if somebody is misusing the words of God or not. And it also has trained me and challenged me to have this relationship with God, and I want to share those with the people around me and wherever I go, hoping that I can give back to the community as well as how the church has invested in me and all the other students. I would want to go and share forth as well what I have learned and what I have gained and how much it has changed my life 3 years ago, and now it's a huge difference. It's not a small 1-2 difference, but a very huge difference. Personal life and my social life is totally different.
So when you leave, you'll be leaving behind your brothers and sisters.
Yes. It's sad, but at the same time, because of Christ, that we know we are all going to meet one day back again. And so it's not an ending. Even though it's sad, it's hard, like we still feel it. But and really knowing that we'll still meet back in heaven with Christ and everyone together, it's a joyful thing.
Amen.
Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Danny.
The Lord has also allowed us to continue work with the Romanian Baptist Church. I've been working with alongside Pastor Ciprian, and I'm often asked to preach or teach. It's hard to see this small church struggle, but we're encouraged to see them continue to be faithful, even when things seem like they will never improve. We can see things are beginning to change, as Monica had one of the women approach her right before we left. She asked Monica if she would be willing to start a women's Bible study when we return, and of course Monica said yes. Monica has begun to work with a Romanian lady, Lydia, who is reaching out to mothers that have children with disabilities. She's often asked to lead Bible studies or prepare lessons for retreats that they attend. Lydia and Monica are also reaching out to some mothers that live in the Republic of Moldova. For those of you who don't know, the Republic of Moldova is the poorest country in Europe. And life there is very difficult for people that have disabilities, more so than in Romania. God has also allowed us to continue work with Johnny and Friends International to distribute wheelchairs and other mobility devices to those in need. Most of our wheelchairs have to be modified to fit the individual. It's a joy for us to watch them come alive as they receive this new gift. As part of the ministry, we are able to give the gospel. They are also given a Bible in their language and a translation of Johnny Erickson Tata's testimony. God has been using us in many other ways, construction being something that we are constantly asked to do, but something we never imagined that would take up so much of our time. The Romanian Baptist Church we've been working with has offered us to live in a pastoral apartment that's attached to the back of the church. It was in need of renovation, so they offered, instead of paying rent, we could fix the place up. When we first started the project, we thought it would be about a three-month process. Well, it's all been almost 2 years, and we're still not finished. We found that because of mold, water damage, and faulty construction, that we had to take everything down to the studs and start over. Monica has become quite adept at mudding and taping, something she'd never planned on doing, but a skill that she's actually become very gifted at. Thankfully, our project is getting closer to completion. When the Lord provides the funds, we hope to finish and to be able to move in within 3 to 4 months after we return. So please pray for us that God will continue to give us energy, wisdom, and resources and guidance in how to build relationships with others for His kingdom. In short, pray that we finish well. It may seem kind of strange that we would think about that at this stage of our lives, but actually, we thought about it for a long time. We want Him to receive all the glory and honor, not us, and we want to finish well. So, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain your questions. They can go to medical school for $7,000 a year. And the cost of living is much cheaper than trying to go to a Western country. So the college itself has a section that teaches in English and has another section that teaches in French and then another section that teaches in Romanian. So whether they're doing dentistry, general medicine, or pharmacology, they can do their studies there it's much less expensive than going to other places in the world. Yeah.
Why are there so many Nigerian students?
Well, basically because it's less expensive for them to go to school. A lot of the Nigerians talk about the fact that the parent in their country will pick the smartest kid in the family and will say, okay, we're gonna send you to become an engineer or a doctor, usually a doctor, so that you can support the family. And everybody works to be able to put these kids through school. And the cheapest way to do it right now, anyway, is in Romania. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Quality. That's a good question. Well, you have some students that are very diligent. Many of our students are faced with having to pay bribes all the time. Their professors, one of the ways that they make money is they demand bribes from the students. So if you want to pass an exam, let's say in your anatomy and physiology class, you want to pass with a good grade, then you need to cough up 500 euro. And so our students are constantly battling that. So we have to, help them stand for righteousness. And that's pretty tough. So imagine over the course of 6 years of study, the amount of money that some of these professors can rake in. Yeah. Monica, why don't you come up here where people can hear you on this microphone? I've invited my secret weapon.
Geographically, where are y'all?
If you were to go to the farthest eastern part of the country, we are about 40 kilometers from the Republic of Moldova.
Which is north.
Yeah, well, yes. Ukraine's north, Republic of Moldova's east, whatever. But anyway,
we're
it's right
north
next door to
east Romania.
Yeah. So when we get the cold weather, the Siberian winds come out of the north and it gets cold. That's a really good question. They're friendly, for the most part. But when you talk to an Orthodox well, anybody who's Orthodox, they'll smile, nod their head, and often that's as far as it goes. You have to build relationships with people to really get a hearing. It takes some time. We do. Out of 5,000 English students that go to the English-speaking section, half of them are Muslim. Now, as far as having lots of mosques and immigrants coming in, no, we do not.
So people that actually are living in Romania, there's not a lot of Muslims, but there's a lot of Muslim students that come to go to school.
Yeah.
So.
How big is it?
They have about 5,000 students, so.
Well, if yeah.
It's kind of broken up into different buildings spread across the city, so, but.
Yeah, I can't really answer that question. I don't know exactly how many are going to the different sections. I know that in general medicine, I think there was 5,000.
Yeah, so there could be more. Yes, it is, and which makes it really hard for the Christians to not give the bribes. One of the nice things about the students coming to the church is that they now have a community that they can stand against a teacher. And I'm trying to remember, what is Danny's group? Where are they from? Malaysia. The Malaysian group were known that they would not give bribes. They would fail before they would give a bribe. And so as they went through school together, a big group of them, the teachers just stopped asking for bribes from them because they knew it wouldn't happen. But just this year, we had students who were like, please pray for us because we know, you know, I could get 100% on my test and still fail if that is what the teacher wants to do. And so they just, every time, they're like, please just pray for us. Pray for us that, you know, we can stand firm and that the professors will honor our work. And we have seen God work really in amazing ways because the students are willing to stand against it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Paint a little picture for us of what it's like to live there. Crime, violence, opposition to what you're doing, daily necessities. You have good grocery stores and things to shop at. What is life like then? Life there.
Well, life has changed a lot since we first moved there. Grocery stores are full of all kinds of items. And we can find now, we're finding more and more good quality items. We went through a stage where all kinds of Chinese imports were coming in and they were expensive, but when you got them home, they fell apart. But now we're getting more quality items coming in. The nice thing for us is the exchange rate for the dollar against the leu, their monetary instrument. Our dollar is four times the value of their monetary instrument. So for everyday items like foods, things that you might find kind of like at a garage sale or something like that, you know, our dollars will go quite a ways. But all the prices in the country that are commercial prices are established on the euro. So that means that the dollar is about even. So when we go to buy fuel, we spend well over $5 a gallon for diesel.
If you have to buy like a refrigerator or a stove, you're paying $1,000?
Yeah.
You know, so it's, in that sense, the prices are extraordinarily high. Hmm. But food is usually...
Local grown items are usually cheaper. Yes, go ahead.
You have to handle the Old Testament any different than the New?
When we teach through the Scriptures, old and new. And so we make those connections whenever we're preaching or teaching. We make those connections. So our students understand those connections. Yeah.
When our hardest struggle usually is when we're having to deal with bureaucracy, like doing our visas, that can be really hard because they also want you to pay the bribe. And so if you're not willing to pay the bribe, then they'll send you over here, and then they'll send you over there, and then they'll send you over there, and you just give me a list. Oh, well, we don't have that paper anymore. Just go over there and get this. And then you go over there, and they're like, no, you don't need that. You need this. And so just dealing with governmental kind of issues is horrible. It can take you 2 or 3 hours of waiting in line just to see one person, to have them send you way over there to go do something else, to come back and hope that they're not closed by the time you get back. Mm-hmm. And that has a lot to do. Also, we feel the pressure of the orthodoxy from that, because they'll ask us, why are you in the country? Oh, we're here as missionaries. Oh, with our church. I'm like, well, no. And that can cause us, you know, they don't say anything to us, but they also sometimes aren't very helpful. So anytime we have to pay bills, you know, it's basically an all-day affair, because you can't just, you know, pop the check in the mail. You have to go down and pay it, and you never know how long the line is going to be. And Romanians wait in line like cattle do a lot of times. You know, it's kind of like
whoever gets the front first. Yeah.
But thankfully, some of the places are getting the little number system. So you go in and you're like, oh, I'm number 305. What number are we on? Oh, 20. Great.
Yeah.
So
there are improvements. But as far as open opposition from the Orthodox,
it's more in the villages that you see that. In the cities, they're more open because they want, well,
they want your money.
They want your
dollars. Yeah.
In the villages, they're more protective of their flock. And mm-hmm. so they see anything that we try to do in the village as a threat that will steal their people. So.
Yeah. Romanians have a celebration called Sfânta Pereschiva every October, where they bring it's an Orthodox celebration where they bring the bones of a dead saint, Sfânta Pereschiva, into the city, and millions of people throng to Iași, Romania. And so they'll be out there on the street, and it's just a terrible thing to witness, because there are people out there holding the bones of this saint and people crying and weeping, and they want to kiss the bones, because if they kiss the bones, they'll get a blessing. And a lot of them, you know, they have the stories of Sfânta Pereschiva healed me of whatever disease it was. And so because you have those stories, then people just throng from all over, Romanians throng from all over the place to come. And they're very, very superstitious people. You walk into an Orthodox church, you'll find lines of people weeping in front of an icon, waiting their turn so they can kiss the icon. There'll be big vats in stainless steel containers of holy water, so you can pay your money going out the door and get your bottle filled with holy water. It's just a very hopeless situation. And so when you try to talk about hope in Christ, you know, come to my church, they'll tell you. But they really don't want to hear what you have to say oftentimes. You have to build those relationships.
What I understood was gold was a representation of Satan.
With the gypsies?
Yeah.
Well, the gypsies come from India. That's where their years and years ago where the original gypsies had come from. And so they have a lot of superstitions that they brought in their culture. And I don't think the goat dance.
I don't think the goat dance any says anything. It's a whole story. There's also Alyssa was telling us there's also a bear in the story and a doctor in the story, and sometimes all of those are dancing around with it. And it's
an excuse to get money and get drunk.
Christmas time to try to get money from you. They'll come, and if they do the dance for you and sing their songs, then it's supposedly a blessing for your house to have good luck for the rest of the year till next Christmas. So I don't think in this instance it has anything to do with Satan. Others,
yeah.
Yes, because the gypsies are very much into witchcraft,
mm-hmm.
and curses and that kind of stuff. So in some part of their culture, yes, that probably would fit, but in this actual instance, no.
Yeah, it's an excuse to get money so they can buy alcohol is what it is. You want to talk about the...
Sure.
Yeah.
We had a student approach us and ask us if we would be willing to try to start a coffee house next to the medical school, because the students have no place to go in between classes where they can sit and study. And so they asked us to consider doing that, and it would be a wonderful opportunity to be able to meet the students, provide a safe place for them to go study, you know, provide some maybe cheap coffee and cheap food so they have something to eat. But we work with a group of other Americans in this church, reaching out to the internationals, and they're the young people, so they have even more contact with the students than we do. And they're always like, we need ways of reaching out. We're trying to, put together a football game here or, go out to lunch with some people. But eventually we run out of people and ways to meet people. So this has been a really kind of exciting thought, that if we could start a coffee house, a Christian coffee house, with enough room that people can study or, visit with their friends. Also, we're
close to the university.
Close to the university. There are a few coffee houses around, but they're long distance from the university. And the students like, we love this, but I don't have time to walk here and have to turn around and walk back to go to class. They don't come with cars because obviously they're coming from long distances, so they have to take public transportation, but they're trying to save money, so they walk as much as possible. And one of the other things that we notice is there are no laundromats. Well, there's one that has two washing machines and two dryers. And so having a facility where you could maybe have a coffee house with a laundromat connected would draw the students in and give us plenty of opportunity to meet new people and reach,
mm-hmm.
reach into their lives. So that is something that we're, as a church, we're praying about and considering. And so I think that is right now, that and the finishing of the apartment that we're working on for us.
Yeah. So just pray for wisdom for us as we contemplate these things and confirmation by God that, this is the right thing to do. It could be very easy for us to get involved in all kinds of good works, but not to be appropriate works. And so we want to be sure that whatever we're doing is going to be a platform for the gospel. Yeah. Well, I see we've run out of time. Any other quick questions? All right. Well, thank you for a lot.
What is your relationship with the Baptist Church? What kind of activities do you take on there?
Within the context of Yosh, there are three young pastors that are leading congregations that all graduated together from seminary, but they don't have a lot of experience in church politics and in leading a church, that kind of thing. So God's allowed us to befriend these three guys and to come alongside them and encourage them and to be a source of... They've asked us questions about how to deal with certain issues within the church, and so we've come alongside them to help them with that. The place where the apartment is, we're renovating, is in the back of Baptist number 2. And so we have been working more closely with that pastor. And we've actually, the church is made up of a bunch of retired people that really can't afford to pay their pastor, and they can barely afford to keep the lights on. So God has used us to help minister to the needs of the church, the physical needs, not monetarily, but in being able to repair problems with the church. And also, there were some issues in the beginning with the pastor was struggling personally, and God's allowed us to encourage him, and he's doing much better. So we're not...
He's not officially a pastor of the church, but... people introduce him as Pastor Kin. So the people see him, and he preaches. He's on the preaching schedule to preach at least once a month. Often he does more than that. And you saw that, you know, he's part of a baby dedication, and he's asked to do weddings. And so we're, I don't know, their church only meets Sunday morning. And the International Church only meets Sunday evening, so it works out perfect for us. So we go to church Sunday morning to the remaining service, and then in the evening to the International service. And it seems to be working really well, us being able to do both.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We also have